Vaping devices and e-cigarettes got a lot of attention last year after thousands of users were hospitalized with severe lung illnesses. While doctors worked to pinpoint the cause, Milwaukee authorities uncovered several illegal vaping operations. And this week, the Trump administration rolled out its plan to partially regulate flavored vaping products nationwide. Mary Spacuzza is an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's been covering this story over the last year. Mary, good to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me.
2019 was the year that vaping became this public health concern, people getting sick with mysterious lung illnesses that potentially appeared at first to be linked to vaping. We know more now. First of all, where do we stand in terms of the numbers we've seen in Wisconsin and around the country?
So last week, the CDC came out with new numbers saying now there have been 2,561 patients who have been hospitalized with what's being termed vaping-linked lung illnesses. It's in all of the states, District of Columbia, two U.S. territories. 55 deaths have been confirmed. Luckily, none of those deaths that have been confirmed yet are in Wisconsin. So that's one positive for us here, is that nobody's actually died. But, you know, we've seen a lot of teenagers and adults getting sick from this lung disease and or lung illness, lung injury. And, you know, originally, I don't know if you remember back to this summer, it was actually Children's Hospital of Wisconsin,
right,
who held a news conference and said, like, you know, basically, we've seen a string of teenagers coming in, and the link here appears to be vaping. We've learned more about it since then and have learned that most of them do appear to be connected to people who have vaped THC, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. They're looking at this vitamin E additive of, looks like, what kind of, bootleg THC vaping products it's added to kind of expand their profits. That seems to be what the federal officials have called a very strong culprit in this. But it has, you know, whether or not they haven't ruled out tobacco products or, you know, e-cigarettes in that whole outbreak, but it also really, I think the illnesses really drew attention to what has been deemed to be an epidemic of youth vaping across the country, where so many teens, so many young adults have reported vaping, getting addicted to vaping. So it's really kind of set off a firestorm and a lot of different regulatory changes being discussed.
Right. E-cigarettes and vaping, even the legal kinds, are big business. You and your colleagues at the Journal Sentinel have been following these bootleg products, and these have been really big business here in the state for sure.
Huge business. We, Raquel Rutledge and I, who've been working on these stories, were shocked at what some of the profits that were being reported out of the black market sales of e-cigarettes, and that could be, there were places in Milwaukee that were being raided with just insane amounts of cash. One had like an entire one of those plastic bins full of cash in there. I think it was in a closet. There was a family that was operating out of Racine and Kenosha that was reportedly making just money hand over fist on this stuff. So it is very profitable. Obviously marijuana might be legal in some of our neighbors, but not here in Wisconsin. And illegal vaping and THC sales are a big business.
Talking to Mary Spacuzza from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the latest on e-cigarettes, vaping, bootleg products, and health concerns, especially linked with those bootleg products. Mary, you mentioned regulatory changes coming when it comes to e-cigarettes. What kind of things are you watching for?
A while back, President Trump announced what he at the time said were going to be, you know, essentially sweeping changes to e-cigarettes, and talked about how the First Lady was very concerned and that he was going to make big changes, banning it for people 21 and under. Originally, he talked about a broad flavored vaping ban. He's since backed away a little bit from the flavor ban. Congress did approve raising the age to 21 for e-cigarette and tobacco sales. So that was approved. That is done. In terms of the flavors, though, now instead of banning all flavors, it's that a lot of the kind of major retailers, like gas stations, convenience stores, they won't be selling those Tutti Frutti or fruit and sweet flavored vapes, which have been connected. A lot of people think that the teens are kind of being, you know, targeted when you see something like something flavored after a candy. However, there's a very popular flavor, menthol flavor, that is still going to be widely available. That is something that a lot of adults said, like, well, we like the flavor. You know, vaping advocates, pro-vaping advocates were saying, well, this is helping me quit smoking, and if you ban this menthol flavor, I'll go back to smoking cigarettes. Obviously, a lot of the anti-smoking activists are very disappointed by the changes. There's also some other loopholes in this flavor ban where essentially it would ban those kind of prepackaged candy flavors. However, vape shops would have a lot more flexibility in terms of the flavors that they're selling. So, you know, critics are saying this is not really going to stop teens from vaping.
We've talked to some public health experts here in the state who point toward we've had this years-long decline in tobacco use by teens, and now all of a sudden it's still early days from a research perspective, but we see nicotine addiction going back up in part because of these e-cigarettes. That's what people are concerned about with these age sales regulations, right?
Right. And just when they hear about when they see the numbers of how many teenagers reported vaping and, you know, vaping in schools, vaping in school bathrooms, hiding it in your sleeve, I think people have been alarmed by just how prevalent it is among teenagers and young people.
Well, let's go back to another piece of the puzzle now, the bootleg products with THC. As you mentioned, people were making big money until they got busted and raided. But if some people were making big money, presumably someone else will try it too. What are you seeing when it comes to enforcement on these bootleg operations?
You know, I think by the huge busts that we've seen recently, you can only think that there are plenty of other people who haven't gotten caught yet, and that there are other people thinking, like, well, if they were making that kind of money, I can make that kind of money too. You know, obviously those who advocate for marijuana legalization or medical marijuana legalization say this could cut down on unsafe bootleg products because people could buy THC or, you know, buy marijuana products that were produced in a regulated environment where certain safety protocols are being followed. Obviously, I'm sure that somebody who's an opponent of marijuana use would say that making it legal will just make it more prevalent. But, you know, I think that there are real concerns about what's being put in these bootleg THC products, as seen by vitamin E acetate and things that could be doing irreversible damage to young people's lungs. And we really don't know what the long-term effects of that will be. You know, we heard of these kids who couldn't bend down to tie their shoes or had trouble breathing if they tried to raise their hands to shampoo their hair. That's pretty alarming. You know, a lot of them have luckily recovered, but what will the effects be when they're trying to go back for sports this fall spring? What will be the effects 10 years from now? We really don't know, and I don't think people like the idea of using teenagers as lab rats.
And to look at what this looks like from the perspective of the end user, the person who buys these products, you and your colleague Raquel Rutledge had reported a lot of these bootleg operations, they were buying these, you know, official looking labels online, these things that look like they were, you know, mass produced corporate products. And people might think, oh, well, this is illegal here in Wisconsin, but it's legal in other states. This is just the kind of thing that if I cross the right border, I could buy legally in a store. They are being fooled if they think that.
Well, yeah, some of these labels, like the labels that we saw that were seized in some of these raids, they were probably bought in, I think a lot of them were bought in China, mail ordered, gotten through the mail, and arrive here looking, you wouldn't know. You would think that, oh, this was probably from California or someplace where somebody got it from a dispensary and this was a legal product because they look so professionally packaged. But I would not assume, if you're a teenager in Wisconsin looking at something that looks official, that it is and that you actually know what's in there. And you're not buying it from a dispensary. You're buying it from somebody who bought it from somebody who, you know, and you just don't know.
As we wrap up, Mary, a lot of pieces to this puzzle. What are you watching for in 2020?
I think we're going to be looking for who's profiting off of the sales, how Juul responds, the company in San Francisco. And Juul does work with a lot of contractors. Raquel and I reported a contract manufacturer here in Wisconsin, Phillips Medisize, that does a lot of contract work for Juul. We're not entirely sure how much, but there's clearly it's a big business. And I think we'll be looking at what regulatory changes get through. There's been resistance. You know, obviously, when President Trump announced the regulations, before they were scaled back, there was a lot of pushback from people saying it could cost him the election, and a lot of critics. And I think that we've seen that in the state legislature here, too. So we'll be watching what bills pass and who's resisting those changes.
Mary, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mary Spaguzza is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She talked with us about the concerns over vaping-related illnesses that arose last year and how doctors, law enforcement, and federal regulators are responding.